D&D. Into it.
Morning, Chair.
Okay. So can we start the meeting then?
Yes, Chairperson, we can start.
Okay.
We can start, Chair.
Okay. Morning. You. Can we bow our heads where we are? Just to make an opening prayer. Thank you very much, honorable members and officials. I wish to welcome everyone in the meeting. Hope that we will discuss as much as we can, and we will try and be faster today, though we are not going to leave anything behind. It's really our first day without our honorable member, Honorable Anastasia Mutaung, which I know for a fact that everyone was with the Mutaung family. Those that have managed to go, I wish to thank them again. And those that have managed to attend the funeral, especially Honorable Dr. Hang, has really represented us in the funeral, and also our chief whip. We are thankful about that. We have to support one another there if there are those. There are those things and those times of sadness in our families and also in ourselves. Thanks ever so much, honorable members.
Recording in progress.
I know for a fact, together with Lindiwe and Yuli, and together with honorable Stock, they managed to attend the memorial services and also visit the family.
Recording stopped.
Thank you so much.
Then recording in progress.
We also lose or lost our families, those that have managed to attend those bereavements. I wish to say to them, God knows all what he does. So let's proceed with our meeting as normal. Lindy, if you can flight our agenda, we will be very much happy, so that we remind ourselves on what is it that we are going to do.
Do you want me to confirm the members present first, or we must start with the agenda?
Okay, just confirm the members if they are ready. Who's this now? Confirm the presence of the members.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson, members, and the minister in our midst. Chair, I would like to confirm the following members in the meeting of the 24th of August. I have you as the chairperson of this portfolio committee. We have member Manganye, we have member Stock, we have member Opperman, we have member Aris, we have member Mare, we have member Masango. Yes, Chair, that's the 8 members that are in our presence, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lindy. How can I forget to thank the minister, because she was also present in the memorial service and the visit of Mutaung family. I cannot forget that. She made it very, very, I will say, I don't know, because of their busy schedule, but she tried her level best to be with us, and she gave us the support. Thank you very much, Minister. I know your busy schedule, and but you are trying at least to show us that we are a family at the end of the day. Thank you very much. Thanks. It means that the meeting correlates, ne?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lindy. Can we then check the agenda?
Yes, Chair. Yes.
There it is. Thank you, Lindy. Welcoming has been done. In introduction of MPs has been done. It's only the officials that haven't done the yard. But I know for a fact, I heard Lindy was saying that the minister is also present with us. Is the deputy minister present with us?
No, Chair. No, she sent us an apology, Chair. She won't be able to be with us today due to prior engagement.
Okay. Can we then, Lindy, give an opportunity to the officials?
Yes, Chair.
To confirm their attendance?
They may confirm themselves, Chair. Over to you, ATG.
A very good morning to you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, Secret Minister, in the meeting. I want to confirm indeed that we're here as the officials of the Department of Social Development. I must also indicate that our colleagues from the social, from SASA are also with us in the meeting, Honourable Chairperson, and ready to provide the presentation accordingly in line with the request from the committee. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Limiting. Now, if it is a, let's give over to Lindy to give us the apologies for today. She has already said that the DM has apologized. Can we get other apologies?
Chair, another apology, the internal one is from Member Sukers. She is busy with the Section 194 committee. They're having a meeting at the same time, so she won't be with us. Another one is from Member Pilangulu, due to prior engagement, she won't be able to attend today's meeting. Another apology, Chair, is from the our legal advisor, Anati Njengane. He indicated that he is also seconded to attend the Joint Committee on Intelligence, so he won't be with us today. And that chair will also affect the agenda of today's meeting, two items of the agenda. Maybe the committee will have a discussion when they adopt the apologies of this meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Which items are those?
Chair, is the committee deliberation and consideration of inputs on the fundraising amendment bill. I think also the MOD, in case if there are legal issues that may arise from that. So I think it is important for the legal support to be present whenever the committee is dealing with legislation.
Yeah. Okay. So it means then we've got one item on the agenda.
No, Chair, we have two items. We will receive the presentation from SASA and DSD, child support grant, the difference between the CSG top-up and the foster care grant. I think the other item that the committee can discuss is to adopt and consider the third term committee program.
Okay, there is the briefing from the committee secretary, honorable members. What do we say in terms of this? Because we were not really aware that Mr. Mshengane, as the parliamentary advice, won't be available with us. what do we say?
Chair Member Stock and Member Masango has raised their hand.
Okay. Can I give over to Masango?
Thank you, Chair. And good morning, colleagues.
Good morning.
The reason why I raised my hand was to make a recommendation with regards to the apology of the parliamentary legal advisor, to say that if we go ahead with the matter of the presentation of the fundraising amendment bill, and we have deliberations, and we are left only with maybe the consideration of if there are any inputs that come in that might need a further clarity at a legal level, we stand that over to when there is a parliamentary legal person, especially if we do have the department's legal advisor on the platform. I'm sure that discussions can ensue, and then stand over whatever it is that would specifically need the parliamentary legal advice. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Masango. Over to you, Honourable Stock.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. A very good morning to all my colleagues, as well as departmental officials, and also a very good morning to the Minister who have actually joined us also in the meeting. A very good morning to all of you colleagues. I just wanted to speak, I was partly covered by Honourable Masango on the issue of the fundraising amendment bill. I think for me, Honourable Chairperson, it poses a challenge if we are going to deal with such contentious legal issues as the portfolio committee, and then we are lacking from the legal advice. I mean, it puts us in a very difficult predicament. I was actually going to propose that maybe this item must be able to stand to the next meeting. We must defer it to the next meeting so that the committee secretariat is able to get hold of the parliament legal advisor, including as well the legal advisor from the department, Mr. Mchochisa, so that we speak with one voice. Because I'm of the view, if we are going to get a presentation now, then we've got only one legal advisor who's from the department, and then the one from parliament is not available. I mean, if there are legal issues or legal advice that the committee will want to be taken on or maybe get an advice from, it's going to be a problem. And then if that happens, and then we agree that it must then be postponed and deferred to the next meeting, where does it put us as a committee on the issues that we would have actually have discussed today? So I actually want to propose, maybe in the absence of the Parliament Legal Advisor, Mr. Mjenglana, we defer this item to the next meeting so that we deal with it in totality. We're able to apply our minds. There will be legal advice also on standby where we'll need it and so forth. But having said that, Honorable Chairperson, I also think I need to make a firm proposal to the Portfolio Committee that in other pieces of legislation which were before the Portfolio Committee, like for example, the Children's Amendment Bill, we were also struggling at some point in terms of legal service from Parliament. Advocating Jenana from time to time. We had to postpone, I think, about, if I'm not mistaken, about three portfolio committee meetings where advocating Jenana was not available. He submitted an apology. So I think from where I'm sitting, I don't know what would be the reasons for his unavailability. But from where I'm sitting, I think he might be overworking himself or overcommitted in terms of other responsibilities also at Parliament level. So I will actually propose, Honourable Chairperson, that maybe through the committee secretariat, the portfolio committee must write a letter maybe to the manager of committees and then raise our concern as a portfolio committee to the manager who's responsible for legal services in Parliament. so that if it happens that the advocate is overcommitted or is overworking himself, then the work of the committee must not suffer. There must be somebody dedicated to deal with our work as a portfolio committee. So I just wanted to make that particular submission, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Stoffel and Honorable Makwangu. I think you have raised that and you have seconded one another. Then it means that let's adopt the agenda as it has been requested by members. Meaning that it has been amended and defer the other one to the next meeting. Can I get the hand? Honorable Stock, you are also adopting the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chair. I move for the adoption of the agenda. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable Masango.
Yes, Chair, I second the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Then, because the minister is with us, it can also we can give over to her.
Just give a political overview.
You connected now. No, it's fine. Yeah. Hello. Good morning, Chairperson. Morning, Minister. Over to you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity yet again. We continue to do our best, both as a department, but overall, as the people of South Africa, I think we continue to do our best to make sure that the state of the children in South Africa is always taken very seriously. The conditions of the children in general is always taken very seriously. I wish to apologize, Chairperson, that I'm not able to turn on my video because my network is very bad. I've been trying. I'm using one of the staff members' cell phones, Tulani, because I've been trying to connect with mine, but I've got a bit of a network problem. I must indicate, Chair, that I am speaking from, I'm in Angola, also in Luanda, because we are here for observing the elections. But of course, one needs to always take this responsibility and attend to the meetings of the portfolio committee. And within technology that I didn't have to put an apology because I can't be there physically. Now I am properly connected, even though I'm thousands of kilometers away from South Africa. I would like, Chairperson, to indicate that, of course, the department will make the full presentation, but I just wanted to first and foremost start with raising the issue of children in general and also the constitutional provisions for us as government in taking responsibility for the children. But also I would like to make a call, if I may, Chairperson, that we all have to take responsibility for children, that is government, private sector, civil society, and that our children today and tomorrow must grow in a better environment, and we have to do everything we can to make sure that children grow in a better environment. But today, of course, we are dealing with the difference between the child support grant top-up and the foster child grant. In my overview, Chairperson, I just want to deal with a few issues that the children's grant, namely the child support grant, including the child support grant top-up, the care dependency grant, and the foster child grant, are an important instrument of social assistance in South Africa. These grants are the largest provisions of South Africa's social assistance program. The program is well designed and well implemented and generally has substantial impact on poverty, inequality, nutrition, and education. Furthermore, the program responds to the 2030 country vision, which is elimination of income poverty and reducing inequality. Therefore, if we do an overview of the child support grant, I can go back to the back back to the history that in April 1998, the South African government introduced the child support grant, which replaced the limited state maintenance grant that benefited few children based on race. And this we think is very important because sometimes we take for granted the steps that we have taken to be all inclusive in ensuring that race doesn't become an issue when it comes to the support, not only of our children, but of citizens in general. Therefore, the aim of the child support grant is to ensure that primary caregivers of children living in extreme poverty can access financial assistance to supplement household income. The child support grant took the form of a cash transfer of 100 rand per child for all poor children under the age of 7 years, paid monthly and was incrementally increased over the years. And currently, a child is eligible until the 18th birthday. And Chairperson, we talk of children up to the age of 18, but this department and myself in particular, I look at the fact that most of our children, especially who come from poor backgrounds, it becomes a problem when they turn 18 and some of them are still at school and they don't get the kind of support that they're supposed to get. That's just the side comment, Chairperson. And then since 1998, the government has made a concerted effort to increase the research of the grant and the number of and number to the beneficiaries has arisen dramatically. Chair, I don't want to take too much time because the overview of the foster child grant and the key differences between the child support, the purpose and everything, the means test, the scope, the recipients, the termination of the grant age and so forth, the foster grant and challenge, foster grant and challenges, those will have to be presented by the department so that I don't take too much time. And also the overview of the child support grant top up with a decision that was taken, approved by the cabinet in 2015 as the first step towards designing a comprehensive legal solution to the crisis in foster care system. All the other issues that cover the entire process will be presented by the department. I think I would end here. And then ask Chairperson through you if maybe the DG can now take over. I will try my best to be in the meeting as much as I possibly can. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you, honorable members. It's good to be in another African country where we're doing our best as Africans to make sure that democracy thrives. We make sure that institutions of governance are strong. And there's a strong contingent of election observers here in Angola. And it's good for us because I personally believe that Africa will rise when we strengthen our institutions of governance, including that of free and fair elections. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for representing us as South Africans. Thank you very much for also showing commitment to and prioritizing to attend, even if you are away, you are thousands and thousands kilometers away from us. Thank you very much for that commitment. Let's proceed by giving over to Linton to do what is necessary for him. You are excused, Minister, when you see that you can't be logging on. We appreciate it, what you have done. Thank you very much. Lumtin?
Honorable Chair, thank you. Thank you very much once again for the opportunity. And very good morning to yourself and all honorable members. I will ask my colleague Maureen to share the screen with the presentation, if that's fine. Chair, I think the Minister has really provided an overview of what we are to present this morning. We will indeed touch on the children's grants that we talk to, that we provide as a department through our agency SASA. but we will focus on the top-up, the CSG top-up and the foster care grant, which you have requested us to do. Just to say that we view the children's grants that we provide to the children beyond just what we call as grants, but in our view, we view them as investments that we make into children, and we are able to show how those investments have yielded, for example, children having able children rather to be in school, to be at various junctures of their lives where they are able to progress and stand on their own. Of course, the child grants that we provide is also an expression of the aspirations of the National Development Plan, as the Minister has indicated accordingly. So I would ask the host to allow Maureen, please, to share the screen from her side, Maureen M, and then we'll go to the presentation. She will lead the presentation this morning for us. And then we will then, of course, be able to come in at the tail end. And then we also have our colleagues from SASSA. We will give you a sense of what the status is even now, Chair, of the foster care grants and the child support grants in terms of applications and in terms of disbursements of quantum of funding. And my colleague Brenton is here to assist with that as well. So thank you very much, Chair. Oh, we will also indicate, I think, it's part of the presentation on one of the slides, how during COVID we're able to provide additional assistance through the top-up, not just to the CSG grant, but to all other grants accordingly. So are we ready? Maureen, can we go? Okay, let's go. Go for it. Dr. Maureen.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister. Good morning.
Good morning.
Members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning, DG. Good morning, senior members of the department and also members of the public. As the Minister has indicated, as well as the DG, my presentation is on the differences between the child support grant as well as the foster child grant. However, it becomes difficult to start with the child support grant top-up without giving the basis of the child support grant itself, because the top-up is based on the child support grant. So I will start with slides that talks to the origins of the child support grant and the basis for the child support grant, and it's then later that I will focus on the top up. I will also highlight challenges that we had with the foster child grant, as well as the North Gauteng court judgment, and that led to the introduction of the CSG top-up, and I will then give an overview of the top-up, its targets, and the documents that we use for beneficiaries to apply for the top-up, as well as implementation issues. As Minister indicated earlier, we have three different types of grants, and I'm not going to get into that, because she has already highlighted the three grants that we have, which is the child support grant that is targeting children in poor households. We have the care dependency grant that is for children or caregivers taking care of children who have temporal as well as permanent disabilities. And we also have the foster child grant that is targeting children who are in the foster care. As indicated, the child support grant is part of the broader social assistance program, which forms part of social protection programs that the country has to address child care and protection services. And Minister gave a background on that, and I'm not going to talk to child protection. This slide highlights the values of the child support grant as well as the care dependency grant and the foster child grant. And you will later understand why the values are different. As you will see, the child support grant is valued at 480 as it is now, and we have the care dependency grant valued at 1,980 and the foster child grant valued at 1,070 rands. What is the strategic objective of rendering social assistance to children? The primary objective is addressing income poverty, and this is based also on the on government's broader objective of addressing poverty. Income poverty should be eliminated and prevented in the country. And this particular provision in terms of social assistance should endeavor to cover everyone who is in need of social assistance. And that is based on the constitution of the country, section 27. And we also endeavor that our programs should be transparent. Our programs are also subject to legislation as well as our regulation, including governance structures that we have. And also, we would want to ensure a minimal level of income support for children that are in our program. I'm now going to give key differences between these two grants, especially because today's presentation is on CSG top-up and foster child grant. So I will start by giving key differences between this provision. The primary objective of the child support grant is to ensure that primary caregivers of children, and remember, primary caregivers are not necessarily biological parents, but according to the Social Assistance Act, it includes all those caregivers living with the child until they're 18 years, living in extreme poverty, these families can access financial assistance to supplement household income. So the purpose of this particular provision is poverty alleviation. That is why this grant is targeted. That is why this grant is means tested. And because of the poverty levels in our country, you can see with the numbers that already we have just over 13 million children who are currently in receipt of the grant. On the other hand, the foster child grant, and just to explain that this is not the foster care grant because it is named after the child. It's not the foster. I hear in many instances people referring to this grant as foster care grant. The proper name for the grant is the foster child grant. It's directed to children who are currently in the foster care or who have been placed in the foster care system. It serves primarily as a means to provide support to the parents taking care of these children up to 21. You'll see the difference that the child support grant is up to 18 years. It ends when a child enters 80. So the birth of date, if the child's death of date is today, the grant will end today. However, the foster child grant can be extended up to 21 when those children are in secondary schooling or tertiary education and has been placed in the care of foster parents according to the court order issued by the presiding officers of the Children's Court. And this is based on the Children's Act. And this particular grant, because as you will see, I've explained it under my notes there, that it's essentially a child welfare grant and it is based on the interest of the child. Because of that, this particular provision, it is the only grant in our systems of social assistance that is non-means tested. The objective is not primarily poverty alleviation, but to ensure that children who are in need of care and protection or who have been declared by the court, by the children's court, to be in need of care and protection are well taken care of by the state. I will then give a view, and I know that Minister has touched on some of this content. What is most important here is that the grant is provided to a primary caregiver, and a primary caregiver is not only mothers and children, and we have mothers and fathers. We have explained, it's explained in our regulations and in our social assistance that it can include brothers, sisters, aunts, and so on, even neighbors who are taking care of the child. The basic principle that we are following there is that the grant must follow the child. So if the mother is in Eastern Cape and the child is in Pretoria, and the child is living with an aunt, the recipient of the grant should be the aunt, not necessarily the mother, because the mother is at a different place. So it should go to the household where the child is. It follows the child. The aim of the child support grant is to ensure that caregivers of children living in extreme poverty, and we have already addressed this one, and you will see that we have incremented this grant over the years. So remember when we started, we were only covering children. And I remember when we started, it was children under 7, then 9. In 2004, we extended to children under 11 and so on. Currently, all children under 18 who are eligible to receive this provision are able to receive. In terms of the foster child grant, as I indicated, it is given to foster parents as declared or determined by the children's court. Foster parents may not have more than 6 children under their care unless those children are related by blood. So if a foster parent has 8 children that she would want to foster, we are limited to only 6 children. We only extend it to all those 8 children if they are related by blood. And as I said, it is based on the best interest of the child. In terms of this provision, we saw the country encountering the biggest challenge, especially in the early 2000s, in terms of HIV and AIDS, which swelled the numbers of children and caregivers who had to be processed by the foster care. So following many parents falling ill, most children became orphaned. And because of that, most of these children ended up in the foster care system. However, the system was only designed to only accommodate 50,000 children at that time. However, by 2010, we had almost 10 times this number. We started giving social workers massive challenges. I'm highlighting here a graph that indicates how after, you will see in 2011, we were having above 500,000 children. But when you go to 2014, we saw the numbers start declining tremendously. Why? It was because of these backlogs that we have. And currently, we have just over 290,000 children accessing this provision. So the grant has declined at an alarming rate, and it caused a concern for us as well as the courts. So what are our challenges we had in terms of the foster child grant? Approximately 80% of children were orphans in the care of relatives and in need of financial assistance. These children were in need of income support. They were not necessarily in need of care and protection. The only challenge or the biggest challenge of these families, they did not have sufficient funds to take care of these children. And as a result, they took them through the foster care process. This placed a strain on our foster care system, which with the excessively high numbers of children and caregivers entering it, and it ended up leading us to the court. It had led to the exclusion of large numbers of children in need of intensive protection services or in need of child protection and care, and left the system unable to really deal with children who needed to be taken care and monitoring and renewal of court-ordered foster placement became a challenge for the department because the system was overwhelmed. Critically, this also resulted in the exclusion of the foster child grant, because when you have few children entering or their foster care process being completed, definitely the foster child grant, we will have less numbers in terms of the foster child grant. This graph will show you, the blue graph represents the child support grant. You will see, and the orange graph or this line, the orange line represents the foster child grant. You will see that the two grants were growing from 2001, and even the foster child grant was even growing higher than the child support grant. But biggest challenges started in 2013. You will see in 2013, that's where the decline started happening. And until today, the numbers are still going lower and lower. On the other hand, we are seeing that the numbers of the child support grant are continuously increasing. Therefore, in 2011, the North Gauteng Court required our minister to design and implement a comprehensive legal solution to the crisis of the foster care system. By this time, the department had already started working on other ways in which we can strengthen the social assistance for children. The foster care system at the time was servicing 550,000 children, who the majority were orphans living with their relatives. Therefore, it was not able to keep up with the demand. Social workers were overwhelmed. We have already mentioned this. Therefore, in 2012, we conducted, I remember, a study. It was not long that I joined the department. We conducted a study to understand how best can we assist in addressing the issues of children in who are not accessing social assistance or who are not obtaining the proper value of this particular grant. So the study, and why do we do this? As policymakers, it's very important for us that whatever step we take, it should be based on research. It should be evidence-based. So whatever policy, always when we come here to propose a policy, always it is evidence-based. So we did that work in 2012 and we completed the work in 2013. We started developing a policy proposal that worked on introducing the top-up, because the recommendation from that study said this particular group of children, they are left out of the system. Remember, horizontally, we had increased the CSG up to 18, but vertically, there were children who were excluded. So we thought of various ways of addressing this group. One way was introducing the kinship care, but we realized that because this challenge was, we had an urgent challenge and we had to address it, we looked at introducing top-up on top of the child support grant. So the top-up is not necessarily a new grant, but rather it is a top-up built on the existing child support grant. What does that mean? It means that all the rules, all the regulations of child support grant are relevant to top-up. However, we have introduced new sections that address the top-up. The policy took us long because we had to consult rigorously. We went to 9 provinces to consult. We even came here to present the particular policy. The policy was only approved in 2015. So colleagues, this has been a long process. It started in 2012. We only ended, the policy was only implemented this year. It took us 10 years to arrive at the stage. The aim is to increase the value of the child support grant for orphans in the care of their relatives and children heading and living in child-headed household based on the child support, based on the Children's Act. It introduces a higher value of CSG, 50% on top of the base of child support grant. So currently, the child support grant is 480. So 50% of 480 is 240. So currently, the top-up that we started implementing on the 1st of June, these children will receive 720. As you know, the values of the provisions are determined by our minister in concurrence with the Minister of Finance from time to time. Access to this provision does not require a court process because a court process is a requirement of the foster child grant. This one, once the children, the families comes to social workers, like what happened in the past, the social workers need to refer this type of families to SASSA. They do not need to go through the foster care process. However, in order to ensure adequate care and protection, we still request that social workers can still do assessment after the award of the provision. As I said, it focuses on orphans in the care of relatives. It's seen as an important part of the comprehensive legal solution based on the court. So it was the first step to the comprehensive legal solution. The department and SASSA compiled a practice note to make it clear to officials how this particular provision is supposed to be implemented. And this practice note was issued at the end of April to both SASSA and social development officials. Orphans already in the foster care system are not affected and will remain until they exit the system. And I would like to thank this committee that approximately 2,000 children already in foster care will not lose their foster child grant when they come up for their 2-year review before the court, because you decided, this committee, that to insert a transitional clause in the current bill, amendment bill, to protect this group of children, which is section 159.2b. It basically says when these families or social workers go to the magistrate is faced with, or a magistrate is faced with a review process. They have a legal authority to allow these children to remain on the to remain in the foster care system. And I would like to thank you for doing that. No assessment is necessary prior to awarding the CSG top-up. These applicants should be referred to SASSA to apply for the top-up, unless these children are in need of care and protection. Those children will go through the normal foster care process. Only children from child-headed households will be requested to obtain a form from a social worker to confirm their status, because it is done to protect our children. We don't want any person just to go to SASSA and say, I'm a child in a child-headed household and I request. We need that to be determined by the department. What is the legislative process that we went through? The bill to provide the necessary legislative framework for the top-up was tabled in Parliament and subsequently passed by Parliament. It was then signed into law by the President in 2020. This amendment empowered our minister with the concurrence of Minister of Finance to introduce an additional payment. The top-up was then implemented with effect from the 1st of June 2022. So we are into the third month of implementing this particular provision. What are the important definitions? And I thought that it was important for us because these are the key differences between the CSG top-up and the general or the basic child support grant. It's a relative in relation to an orphan. This definition means a grandparent, a brother, a sister, uncle, aunt, or cousin of the child. So these are the first category of caregivers or family members who are eligible to apply for this particular provision. This definition does not include adoptive parents, because when you are an adoptive parent, you are the same as a biological parent or step parent. The second definition is the definition of an orphan, which we are defining currently as defined in the Children's Act number 38 of 2005. This means that both parents of the child are deceased, or one parent is deceased and the other is not caring for them. And we have made it clear in our regulations. There is another important definition, and you will understand later why this definition is very important. It says that an unknown status, this definition means that it is not known whether the person concerned is dead or alive. When you look at the policy that was adopted in 2015, we said it addresses biological parents. However, when it came to regulation, we realized that it was not possible only to accommodate biological parents, because when we went to the Department of Home Affairs, they said the department is the only one that can make that determination. We as SASSA and the department, we cannot make that determination, and we cannot refuse the child, because not all the children in the system of home affairs have both the father and the mother indicated in the system. So for us to implement this particular provision in the regulation, we had to accommodate the use of an affidavit. The target group, as I've said, is a relative. Secondly, is a child who is 16 years and older. These are included in the definition of a relative there because it's a brother and a sister, but under 18 years and who is caring for his or her sibling after the death of one or both parents also qualifies for the top-up for themselves and their siblings. So these children are a small group in the system that we are covering, but we have child-headed household in the country and they are covered by this particular policy. Currently, the number of beneficiaries receiving the foster child grant is 294 as of now, and the value is 1,070. This is just to show you also the decline that I've shown earlier. The documents that we need to apply, these are the normal documents that you would need to apply for CSG. So this is normal CSG document. You will need an ID, the child's birth certificate. You will need alternate document if you do not have. the birth certificate, you will need a prescribed affidavit or SASSA prescribed affidavit, a letter from the principal. I'm not going to go through these ones because they are the basic ones that SASSA normally uses. The important one is the child support grant with additional payment. For this one, in the case of an applicant who is a family member caring for an orphan, you will need to prove that the child is an orphan, which may include one of the following: certified copies of birth certificate. This is very clear. Both parents are no more, are no longer alive. So a child will, a parent or a caregiver, a relative will need two death certificates. But you have instances where one of the death certificates cannot be obtained by the applicant. A certified copy of a certificate of one child's parent and an affidavit of an applicant attesting to the unknown status of the child. Remember, I said earlier that this definition is important. So in this case, this particular grandmother, let's take a grandmother who is in Rustenburg. The grandmother, the child or the daughter went to Cape Town to work, and she comes back pregnant. After some time, she passes on. Then she has the child. The grandmother has never met this particular father. The grandmother does not know the paternal family. They have never seen the, they cannot even confirm, they cannot attest whether the person is alive, whether they have never seen them. So this person can go to SASSA and complete a SASSA affidavit to that effect. So this grandmother will receive this particular provision. Remember, there are children in child-headed household. There is a form that has been designed by our welfare colleagues in the department that has been distributed or has been shared with different provinces, where in cases of child-headed households applications, this form need to be completed and be given to the applicant, which they will then take to SASSA. In terms of implementation, where are we? We started in 1st of June 2022. By 29th of July, we had just over 5,000 applications of CSG top up. This is not where we want to be. However, we are working hard to increase these numbers, and we have given you the different provinces and where we are. We see that we are doing well in the Eastern Cape, and we are doing well in KZN. We need to also work hard in other provinces, where especially Western Cape and Northern Cape, the numbers are very slow. We are intending to hold different consultations. We started in the Western Cape recently. We had consultation on CSG top-up, and we are intending to go to Northern Cape. We are intending to cover all provinces as we continue on our communication sharing sessions. As you will see, this is our targets, where quarter one we were targeting, but however, we started implementing in the 1st of June, which is towards the end of the first quarter, and we are seeing that we are below the numbers. However, we will continue to work hard to ensure that we cover the projected numbers. However, we should bear in mind that we did not start when we thought we would start. And the reason being, the regulations were part of the broader regulations, so we couldn't start when other sections of the regulations were not completed. This is basically a moving towards conclusion in terms of where we are. And this part, I have mentioned that we started with a study, we did policy development, we publicized the amendments, we developed the practice note, we updated, SASSA had to update their forms, we consulted, we did thorough consultation, colleagues. I did personally go to all the provinces to share this information, even during the COVID era. We trained staff at local offices, and training is continuing. We updated the software. We are continuing with information sharing. We have developed frequent asked questions that will be shared with SAS and DSD and will also be put on our electronic platforms. Currently, as I said, we have over 5,000 applications. In conclusion, I just wanted to show you that as DSD, although social grants are important, we recognize that social grants are not a silver bullet. We recognize that our programs need to be offered in an integrated fashion. So as government, there are many programs. We should never forget that social grants are not the only intervention. We have ECD, we have health programs, we have transport programs, we have food gardens, we have different programs that are rendered both by the department, our agencies, but also other departments which are aimed at one aim, to improve the livelihoods of our children. So we follow a social protection approach. And this is important. That is what we need to be measured on, not only on our social assistance program, but we need to be measured on broader and integrated social protection. That is why currently we are working on a program or on a policy where we are trying to link our social grant beneficiaries' children with other government processes, because it's very important for us that our children should be integrated with other services that are rendered by government. This brings me to the end of my presentation, as I provide a recommendation, which is for the portfolio committee to recognize or to note the difference between the child support grant top-up and the foster child, and the progress made with the CSG top-up since implementation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Let me give over now to the honorable members to deliberate and discuss on this. I will note the hands. I see Leticia's hand, Alex's hand. Others will follow after them. Can I give over to you? Or Maureen, is there any addition that you would love to be made by other members of the department?
Chairperson, thank you. This is Brenda Sibeko. No, Chairperson, we are happy to take comments and questions from the portfolio committee now. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Brent. Can I give over to Leticia? Honorable Leticia, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You are recuperating very well.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson. First and foremost, allow me to convey our condolences to the family of Honorable Matsau. May her soul rest in peace. Chairperson, I just have one question on the extended child support grant. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My voice is a bit hoarse here. What I can see, and I mean even from the area where I stay, even though the presenter did indicate that they did, you know, go out and, you know, inform people about this extended child support grant. However, I feel it's not enough that they are doing, specifically in the deep rural areas and in areas, because, I mean, even, yes, local radio stations, et cetera, that people can utilize that, is that people are not getting that grant. Can you hear me? Okay, I did see in the presentation that a family are allowed to have six children, foster parents are only allowed with 6 children. However, there are situations where people, what they do, Chairperson, is that I feel that we must come to the point where we set 6 children per household and not the foster parent. Because what have happened within one household, there's a foster parent, like, for example, the mother of the house, and then the mother's daughter are also a foster parent. And that creates problems. The other thing that I want to find out is, what is the backlog on the foster child support grant? And then the other thing I would also like to find out, do we have enough social workers in order to ensure that this backlog of foster care grants is being addressed? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Aris. Alex?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the colleagues and to the officials and to everybody else on the call. Chairperson, I just need to say on the onset, I've heard open remarks, but I'm still a little confused, you know, as to why 4 years in, we get in a theory lesson on the differences between grants. And, you know, I'll touch a little bit more when we go to the program, when members like myself are struggling to get, you know, the real bread and butter issues on the agenda. And here we are sitting, listening to theory as opposed to, you know, the real situation and the scenarios with the real and practical figures on the ground. But be that as it may, I do have some questions, and thank you for the presentation. I would just like some clarity on what the practice note contains. I then would like to find out when foster parents come to SASSO, come to the social worker, are they still given the choice, the freedom to choose between the top-up grant and the foster care grant? Because let's be honest, there's still that difference between the amounts. And I just would like clarity on whether the foster care parents' choice still remains and they get to choose which grant they would like to apply for, and that it's not SASSO or a social worker making the choice for the foster parent whether they want to go the route of the top-up or whether they still would like to go the route of a foster care grant. So that I would like clarity on. Then, Chairperson, I've noted on slide 21, we are still looking at figures from the 29th of July, yet today is the 24th of August. So when we do come with presentations, Chairperson, I think it's important that we come with the most recent figures and stats. And therefore, I'm asking for that slide 21, if at a later stage we can then get the updated figures for August. And I mean, when I look to the following slide, slide 22, I am just then making an assumption that quarter one, which is then July to August, that 19,120 is then the more up-to-date stat. But I mean, when we come here, we would like the most recent stat. Then, Chairperson, I would have then also thought that the presentation, I think slide 24 alludes to it, to hear how far the department is on their policy of linking social grant, child support grant beneficiaries to government's basket of service. Lots of talk about the policy, yet we're still waiting to have feedback on this policy. And then, Chairperson, I'd like some information on how the top-up grant is being marketed and communicated to residents. I have seen some things on Facebook and I have seen the note, but you know, I've heard the presenter saying that they're not where they want to be in terms of numbers, but I didn't see a slide that communicated how SASSA and DSD is advertising the top-up grant. Then, Chairperson, lastly, you know, we are 3 months away from November and the High Court deadline. And I would have thought this committee would benefit from a presentation entitled Comprehensive Legal Solution. And I'm yet to see the department's full and complete comprehensive legal solution, noting that we're 3 months away from November. And then lastly, Chairperson, and this is something I touched on now in the beginning, that this is theory-based and in an ideal world, but we need to know the real situation on the ground. And I think every single presentation, when we speak about the foster child grant, needs to come with a slide that shows us the backlogs in each provinces. It's a slide that we've had before. It's a slide that I ask for every single time to give us the picture per province where we are in terms of the backlog. And here we are speaking about foster care again, and that slide is missing again from the presentation. So thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Alex. Polnitz?
Good morning, Chairperson, and welcome back for this new session. I want to say thank you to the people that were presenting here. Okay, I'm just a little bit confused because I've been to the Department of Social Development, I think it was a month and a half with the grandmother. That daughter passed away 3 years ago, and the two children that been staying with her, they do get the SASSA money. I'm not sure if it's 380 or how much it is. But the children's transport alone to take them to school, because they had to move from Bultfontein to Bloemfontein, and they got a new school year. And that was now almost three years ago. And they're almost still getting just that money. So I took a call to Social Development, and I wasn't aware of this, what the lady was just talking about the top up and about the adoption one. The adoption one, we went to the police station, we did everything. But the social worker never mentioned that she's having an option of having the top-up, because she said to me, you know, the process to go to court and all those things, she doesn't have the time to do all that because she doesn't have a car to take her around. But she's been looking after these children. So I feel that what we are saying in the committee just now today, and when you go to the department, it seems like those people don't know all these things that is happening. So I just want to know, how are you going to make sure that all the departments, social workers, and everyone knows about this implementation, and make sure the people on the ground floor knows, because even myself, I didn't know about this. And it's true what the previous speakers were saying, is that in practice, it looks good, but practically when you go to the ground floor, the people are not aware of these things. How are we going to make sure, especially the rural areas like Bultfontein and all the small areas, how are these people going to know about this thing? Because people are struggling out here. And when you go to the social workers, it looks like they don't even understand what they are doing. It's like they are doing you a favor in any case. So it seems like they send you from the one department to the other department, to the police station, you must do this, you must do that, come back, you must go again. So if this information can go to the departments as well, of the social workers and everyone. So when you get there, the people are not being confused by, from here you must go to the police station and have a car, take the car and come back again and all those things. So, Jay, this information is very, very important. We need to take this information out there so the community can understand what is really going on, because not everyone wants to go through the process. The children have a house, they have everything. It's just they need, almost just need some money to assist with the school fees and the transport and whatever, because only she's also just getting a pension. So if we can have this information share, I will be very, very happy, because today this thing was very important for me because I work with these cases every day. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Pauline. But yes. I think, Honor, hello?
Chairperson, it's me, Lindy. Chair, I just got a WhatsApp message from Member Manganye indicating that she would want to make a contribution, but her gacha doesn't allow her to raise her hand. Secondly, she's not feeling well. She won't be able to put her video on. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Over to you, Honorable Manganye.
Thank you.
Recovery.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. And good morning to my colleagues and everybody.
Thank you.
I think it was good presentation, even although it's late. because the majority of the children, that's why they see the graph dropping, is because people are not aware of what the department is having in terms of the top-up grant. I think the department should make sure that in all the provinces, this are made available. And then the other thing that I wanted to raise is that people don't know, because I visited Port St. John's. People are still, the offices were still not open since the COVID. So that is why people who are illegitimate unable to apply. I'm pleading with the department to check if their offices are open. Because a person to take a taxi and go to town to go and to the offices and find out the offices are not yet open, she won't go back again, because the money that she got, it was that little. My question is, Chair, we do have people from outside this country, especially foreigners. Some of our brothers have fathered the children to this women who come from, I just want to give a typical example, who come from Lesotho. And then these kids are struggling, because when they go to Home Affairs with the father and the mother, they say, no, the mother is not yet a South African, so they can't get. So my question is that why other neighboring countries like Swaziland, like Zimbabwe, like Botswana, all the time when is the date of pension, they all flock to South Africa and go back again home. Their kids are no longer staying in South Africa, but they are still enjoying the benefit of the kids of South African while they are in their country. Don't we have the system that shows that this person, I don't know if it's linked to our system, is linked to Home Affairs, so that to check if this person only comes to South Africa towards month end and go back again after 2 days, especially the kids that are getting the grant. So that was my, while I appreciate this, that was my question, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mangani. Can I also give over to Honorable Masango?
Thank you, Chairperson. May I also please keep my video off due to the unreliability of the signal this side. I just want to thank the department for the presentation that is clarifying the differences in the various grants. What I would like to ask is that the department, or maybe the DG, takes this opportunity just to clarify how the Section 150 plays the role that it plays in this solution that we are talking about today. Especially as we speak about the top-up grant, because that would just, in our minds, put paid to the efforts that are being made with the Children Amendment Bill that we are processing at the moment. That is number one. Number two, Chair, I just would like to understand how the department, more especially the Child Protection Directorate, are are planning to train social workers on the top-up. I'm saying this partly because I just think that it's new and it this might need to happen. And I heard that the lady who was explaining did say that she has herself had engagements throughout. But I am concerned that the social workers may not have been briefed or trained on how this whole thing works out, looking at the interactions that one finds on the ground. I am sitting in my files at the moment with a number of these queries that have been outstanding for some time, where there doesn't seem to be an understanding of what is going on. So I would like to know what the plan is to train social workers on the top up. And the third thing, and the last one, Chair, is that I would like to find out, or just to get a some explanation of when, if at all, the committee is supposed to get these regulations, when in the process. I know that we may not be part of the department as in being executive, but I believe that the regulations flow from the laws that we make as legislators. So I would like to know, because this thing of us catching up as the committee, catching up on the regulations and having to explain to people how things work and how the regulations are linking to the legislation is getting to a point where one is found wanting whenever these questions are posed out in the public. So I would like to know if there's a process or there's a procedure that says the members of the portfolio committee will have access to the regulations before they get to the public for comment, after they get to the public for comment, or whenever. I just would like to be appraised of how that process works. Otherwise, thank you, Chairperson, for the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Masango. I think that's all. The hands I've done with them. But the fact of the matter is the information that is really behind schedule. I'm sure this meeting should have happened long before this thing started. As all or most of the honorable members are saying, how have you managed to circulate the information to the communities? What have you done? Because the reality of the matter, this has already started. And ourselves as committee, we have a little knowledge about this, but it was said long before it already indicated that this started in 2015. Thank you very much. Can we give over to the department to assist us in terms of the questions that have been asked by members? Maureen?
Thank you so much, Honorable Member. The DG has asked me to just guide who should respond to what and then to respond to some of the questions. I think members may recall when we were doing the amendment to the Social Assistance Act, like two years ago in 2020, the clause that enables this provision was introduced at that stage in 2020. And after the passing of that legislation, we then had to do the regulations. And it's the regulations now that are being implemented with respect to this one, to the top-up grant. And I think it's important to state also that although the policy had been brewing for a very long time, we could not implement it until we had funding to be able to provide the actual top-up. And the funding was only provided in the current financial year for us to be able to implement this top-up grant. So it's a very, very new grant. We have only started implementing from the 1st of June. So there's, of course, a slow take-up in the beginning because it's a new grant.
We have started, as Dr. Mofoti was saying, that we have been doing training both from the social security side and also with welfare services, also bringing social workers on board. But it's an ongoing process. These are very early stages because we're only in the second month of implementation of this new top-up grant. So, of course, we expect that it will not be very high take-up immediately. But we really appreciate the comments that have been raised by the honourable members, especially some of the advice that we are getting. For example, the very first member who was saying we should be using local radio stations and so on. This is something that we'll definitely take on board in order to promote this top-up grant and for more people to be able to take it up. And the primary motivation in terms of the comprehensive legal solution was about ensuring that we reduce the burden on the social welfare system of having children who are trying to apply for the foster child grant while they are not in fact in need of care, where they are staying with their families, which we think is important. When a child loses parents, the preferable solution is that the family, the blood relatives of that child, should take on the care of that child rather than for the child to be in the foster care system. However, many of these families struggle to be able to support the additional children because of the levels of poverty in our country. So the motivation for this top-up was really about increasing the support to families who take on children who are not their own biological children, but are part of the family, the extended family. So it's really about that. So that the foster child system, which is about primarily looking after children who are orphaned and are also vulnerable in the sense of not having access to care or being in need of care in terms of the Children's Act, that more of the resources of social workers can be spent there rather than for children who are merely in need of financial support. So that was the kind of separation that we had wanted to do. But now in terms of the implementation, of course it's early, hence Honorable Abrahams, we don't have the high numbers as yet. Dr. Mofoti will describe what is in the practice note as per the question, and she will also deal with some of the questions about whether there's a choice or not, because the legislation is quite clear about who qualifies for the foster child grant and who would qualify for the top-up grant. And we're trying to just delineate very clearly those things, but we'll, Dr. Mofoti will clarify that a bit more. And also on slide 21, she will also clarify those numbers. The fact of the matter is, SASSA collects the statistics or provides us with the statistics every month. So that is why we only have up to the 29th of July, which is the end of last month. The August numbers will be available at the end of August so that we then get a sense of how far we are going. Generally, the numbers are collected every month, so we will be able to provide updated data as time goes on. In terms of some of the questions around how is it being marketed, Dr. Mofoti will deal with that question. And then the question around children from outside of the country, she'll also deal with that. Well, primarily the children's, the social grants available to all children, and then they don't necessarily discriminate with regards to children who are from other countries. Of course, SASSA has rules though around the length of time that the person needs to be in the country in order to be able to access social assistance. And I'll ask my colleague from SASSA to respond to some of the questions that have to do with implementation. Grant Infant Freda is with us. He'll respond to some of those. And then I will ask our legal expert, Dr. Mchoshisa, who is in the meeting, to deal with the question around the comprehensive legal solution and how far we are in its implementation, or how far we are, which clauses deal with that and link the top-up grant and the provisions around children in need of care. And then, Honorable Masango, the issues of access to the regulations, I think Dr. Advocate Mchoshisa will also deal with that one. But let me also indicate, honorable members, that the department is willing at any time to take you through a lot of these provisions, and we understand that it would take a while for it all to settle because we are still really at the very early days of implementation. But it is important for us to make sure that the portfolio committee is really up to date. The regulations are available to be provided at any time, we can provide those. But in terms of the rules of when and how they get available to the portfolio committee, our legal person will be able to respond to that one. And then with regards to the training of social workers, it's an ongoing process, but our colleagues in welfare will also deal with the issues of how social workers are being brought on board in terms of them being able to implement this new top-up grant, and how they are then dealing with issues of the foster child backlog and what the numbers are with that regard. I will ask, I think Isabella will deal with that one, or she needs elect somebody from the welfare services to be able to deal with those questions. Thank you, Chairperson. So if you allow me, can I ask that Dr. Mohosi deal with some of the questions relating to the top-up grant, and then she's followed by our legal person, Advocate Mchochisa. I keep calling him Doctor. Advocate Mchochisa will then deal with the comprehensive legal solution and the question under the regulations. And then our colleagues in welfare services will conclude with the issues of the foster care grant, the backlog, and how social workers are being trained, and those type of questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Brenda.
Yeah, Bo.
Will you please, I might have missed you. We are checking on how the information has managed to get into the communities down there. Can you respond to that? I might have missed it.
Yes, Chairperson. I said that I'll ask Dr. Mohosi to give details on that because they have been consulting with different communities. She can give more detail on that. And then with regards to how the social workers have also been informed in order to be able to implement, Isabella will also talk to that part. But Dr. Mohosi can answer the specifics around how the information has gone to the communities. I've also indicated that we appreciate the advice from the honorable member who started the conversation and said we should also be going to community radios, because I'm not sure how much we have done that, but it's something that we think is useful and helpful, and we definitely want to take that on board.
Okay. Maureen, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the practice note, I will start with the issue of the question on the practice note. Basically, the practice note gives a broader understanding of CSG top-up. So we focus on what the top-up is all about, implementation issues. Some of the aspects that I presented today are contained in the practice note. The definitions, the new definitions that we have added in our regulations, the target group, the documentation, the processes that the application process in detail in terms of what should happen from the entry point of social development, because we know that from transition, many of these families will start at social work offices. So we start from there. We also explain in detail what is supposed to happen when they arrive at SASA, the forms that are supposed to complete. So it's targeting both DSD officials as well as SASA officials. So in terms of informing, well, I'll start with officials. What we have done and what we are still doing, since, as I said, we knew the policy was the act was approved in 2020. So we started with our consultations, and we started even during the COVID era. So we held online consultations with both DSD officials as well as SASA officials. But in addition to that, we've been going to different provinces to hold consultations on CSG top-up. And for the past 2 months, we have been trying to cover as many provinces as we can. We use online also consultations, because with online consultations, we can invite many people at the same time. But we do not end there. We go to provinces as well. And we do not go as DSD alone. We go to provinces as both DSD, SASSA, as well as our colleagues from welfare section, so that we cover all aspects of this particular provision. Yes, in terms of doing radio campaigns, we will embark on that particular process of doing radio campaigns. But in terms of beneficiaries, we have also been holding consultations on CSG top-ups, because we are currently in a consultation process of some of our policies. So wherever we go, the first presentation that we start with is the presentation on CSG top-up. Last week we were in KZN, 2 weeks back, a week before we were in Cape Town. So we are going on a weekly or bi-weekly basis to provinces to do as much as we can. But as members have advised us, we will also start looking at doing media a campaign on this particular policy. In terms of the linking policy, as I've indicated now, we have a draft policy on linking policy. However, consultation, we wanted that when we come to present the policy to you, we would have gotten all information and views of the public. So since last year, we have embarked on a provincial campaign on consultation. So we've been to many provinces to consult on the draft policy on linking. We are intending to come to Parliament next year to present this particular draft policy. We wanted to get as many views as we can. We thought we will only focus on few provinces, but we realized that the public had more interest on the particular policy. So we decided to do a nationwide consultation. And we will be ending with that process towards the end of this financial year. And we will be bringing it. We will start with the processes of bringing it before this particular committee.
Thanks, Dr. Mkhasi. Can we then hand over to SASSA to talk about the closed office that Honorable Manganyi was asking about? I think it was Honorable Manganyi.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members, Minister, colleagues from the Department, members of the public. So just to respond to the question in Port St. John's, the office was affected by floods and was, I think it was closed for about a day, but we can confirm that the office is open again and functional, except that we do still have electrical problems, which means we are running manual applications for the moment at the office, and that does slow down the services a little bit, but we do expect that the full functionality will be restored. Maybe I can also just comment in terms of how we're trying to reach more beneficiaries in addition to a lot of the things Dr. Mkhotsi mentioned. We're also looking at trying to analyze the data on the existing CSG grant beneficiaries over the last couple of years to see which of the children have had deceased caregivers. Unfortunately, we don't, on the database at the moment, or the existing database, we don't have a clear marker in terms of whether or not someone is an orphan, but we are trying to do some data analytics on that to see if any of the children have had deceased caregivers in the last few years or so and have shifted care or have their caregivers changed from one caregiver to another as a possible indicator that the child could be an orphan. And once we've done that, we will then see if we can do some direct marketing via SMSs, provided that the beneficiary's details are still relevant or up to date on the system. And hopefully, you know, that for us, that could also just be a cheaper form of communication and more directly and with potential clients for this particular grant. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Van Schrede. Advocate Mtshosi, do you want to take the legal questions around Section 154 and the other things around the regulations and how far we are with the comprehensive legal solution? Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. The question as to whether we have dealt with the comprehensive legal solution is still underway. It is underway in the context that the court had indicated that the minister the department must come up with a comprehensive legal solution to address the issues of foster care. And as we're still wondering as to what really that means in real life, the comprehensive legal solution, the court gave some indicators to say the minister must introduce the law in parliament in order to address that, and also come up with systems and mechanisms to also deal with the issue of comprehensive legal solution. What we did as a department, we prepared the two pieces of legislation, that is the Social Assistance Amendment Act and also the Children's Amendment Act, which came before your good selves, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members in Parliament, which was agreed in 2020 by Parliament that yes, the Social Assistance Amendment Act must pass, which we have just started implementing now with regards to the CSG top-up, and the Children's Amendment Act, which has also been presented before your good selves. We must also understand, Honourable Members, that the court, in indicating that we must come up with a comprehensive legal solution, it cited a lot of role players in this regard, starting from the president, the premiers, the MECs, and the minister, meaning that this is a collective responsibility as to how we deal with a comprehensive legal solution. Although it specifically directed the Minister of Social Development to introduce the law in Parliament, which the Honourable MPs have processed up to this stage and finalised with regard to the Social Assistance Amendment Act, and is currently busy processing the Children's Amendment Act. It cannot be a very specific answer, Honorable Abrahams, to say yes, the comprehensive legal solution has been achieved, because it is the court that will at the end of the day make that pronouncement to us, because they also created a door for us as a department to visit them on some intervals, and we'll be meeting them on this coming Friday for a supervisory hearing where they want to understand the progress and the mileage we have traveled in achieving this comprehensive legal solution. So at the end of the day, they will agree with us that yes, it is the comprehensive legal solution as per the court order, or they will tell us that it is not. But so far, with what we have presented to the court, there has been no indication that we are in any way deviating from what the court order had indicated, because we are making presentations or reports to court from time to time in this aspect, telling the court that, Honorable Court, as you said, we must come up with a comprehensive legal solution. This is what we have done so far. And there is no way where the court has said to us, no, you have not really done that. They've always been entertaining our reports. So we will rely on them, that is the judiciary at the end of the day, to tell us that yes, indeed, but for ourselves, we have done the spade work in terms of developing the pieces of legislation which has been processed. And the honorable MECs in the past have come before your honorable parliament, portfolio committee, honorable chair, to present the systems and mechanisms they are implementing as MECs, because they've also been cited in that order. As to what exactly are they doing in their respective provinces in order to achieve this comprehensive legal solution at the end of the day. So I'm trying to say we will at the end of the day be all saying, yes, this is what we needed to achieve as comprehensive legal solution, challenging as it may be as to what exactly does that mean in real life. But the courts, as I indicated, are assisting us by accepting our reports and giving and not indicating that we are off the mark. With regard to the issue of the regulations, we indicated when we presented at some stage that yes, the regulations may take time to process, but we have run away from that to say, let us develop regulations as these pieces of legislation are being presented to Parliament, just to be one step behind the process of the processing of the bill. So the regulations will indeed be finalized a month or two after the passing of the bill by Parliament, or and also after the president has ascended to and signed the bill into law, so that there is no huge time lag between the ascending and signing of the bill into law and the actual proclamation thereof in order to come into application. So there is a draft that is at an advanced stage, which will be presented when that particular time comes. The other issue about the interplay between Section 159, I think it was explained by Dr. Mkhosi in his presentation to indicate that, yes, we have created such provision, we have amended that provision in order to ensure that those who are already in the system for foster care will not be affected by the CSG and all the top up as indicated, but will continue until they are, I mean, that is phased out. So this is targeting the new case scenarios as has been indicated. I think I must pause there, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Advocate. Can we ask now that May Isabella Skawana then guides us through some of the questions that were raised around the social workers and the question, one of the questions was whether we have enough social workers to process this. And I think part of the reason that the Social Assistance Amendment Act was done with regards to the creation of the top-up was actually to reduce the burden on social workers, on the understanding that we don't have enough of them to be able to deal with 500,000 child support, foster child grant applications. But Ms. Governor, you can guide your team around issues of that, the numbers, whether we have adequate numbers of social workers, how far we are with processing the backlog, and some of the issues related to implementation, as in training and preparing social workers to implement this question, to implement this provision. But before we come in, let me just say one last thing, which is that, as Advocate Nchochisa was saying around the regulations, remember, because we are processing two pieces of legislation, the Social Assistance Act, because it was then amended in 2020, the regulations for that one are completed and are available. What we still have to do then is finalize the regulations to the Children's Amendment Act once it is passed into law. But the regulations to the Social Assistance Amendment Act can definitely be shared with the portfolio committee members. Thank you. So can I hand over to Ms. Skawana or whoever she chooses to deal with the questions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Brenda. and Brenda.
I think you are muted, my dear.
No, I have unmuted. Hello, can you hear me?
We are able to hear you. I'm chairing the meeting. Brenda is not chairing. I can see that.
She said you are muted, my dear.
Yes.
Am I muted?
I'll carry on.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning, and colleagues. The issue of social workers, I think all of us know that we need more social workers as a result of the increase in social ills, because social workers are not only dealing with foster care. And it is on this basis, as Brenda has said, that we are trying to relieve social workers from, you know, dealing with some issues that can be dealt with, you know, at initial level or the prevention level. And we allow them, you know, to deal with professional issues. And more so that we have recognized that social workers are also needed, you know, all over, especially in different settings, your school setting. You know, Minister has also said that even in police station, we need social workers, because it's the first point of entry where people need to really to engage with social workers. And it is on this basis that the department took an initiative to ensure that we work with all the people in the sector, your education sector, your people, all the people who are dealing with social workers, to build a case to National Treasury for us to be afforded, you know, resources to employ social workers. So in short, we don't have enough social workers to deal with all the issues, all the social ills in the country. And therefore, we need to ensure that our social workers are utilized in a very strategic way. The issue of the backlog, I'll hand it over to Nelisa, you know, to elaborate on it. But I want to deal with the issue of the 6 children that need to be placed under foster care in one pay household. I want to agree with the member that we only need these children to be placed per household, not per individuals within the household. And it's exactly what is happening, supposed to be happening. And we are intensifying our supervision to ensure that, you know, there is compliance in that regard. And the appointment of more social workers will also assist us in this regard, but also utilization of the other caders of social service professionals to assist in issues of supervision, but also coming up with innovative and creative way in dealing with issues of supervision of foster placement. Like, for example, we are looking at ensuring that we've got group supervisions where we group quite a number of households that are in foster care to ensure that, you know, the work becomes much easier. So it's an issue that we really need to put an eye on, because our children will be abused. Child protection will not be the issue that can be achieved in a maximum way if, you know, this compliance is not looked at. I will give to Nelisa to look at the issue of the backlog. Nelisa, the backlog.
Good morning, Honorable Chair Mamuvana, and Honorable Members, and Honorable Minister, as well as colleagues. I just want to address the issues of backlog. I want to start opening by indicating that we do not have backlog. All foster care orders are valid due to the court order that we have in place. However, what we have put in place is that social workers must take all cases back to court to ensure that all these foster child grant orders, they do not lapse simultaneously at the same time. So social workers are taking matters back to court. And what we have observed is that in terms of the set monthly targets, there are deviations. And some of these deviations, they track back to prior to November 2020. And when we looked at our, you know, figures, prior November 2020 to June 2022, we had 21,616. And then the projections that were for July to September 2022, there were 12,787. And then projections again for October to November 2022, it's 13,310. what we see in practice happening is that these cases are taken to court. However, if there are these deviations, including projections, are not extended by November 2022, we are having a possible lapsing of 47,613 orders if these orders are not taken to court for extension so that they don't all lapse at the same time. So, Honorable Chair, in total, it's 47,613, which is the figure that is likely to lapse if it's not addressed by social workers. As Ms. Gawana has indicated, that social workers have put measures in place and we are doing monthly monitoring as national office to track and where there are challenges with the presiding officers. We engaged with the presiding officers. We even have planned meetings now in 2 weeks' time with the chief magistrates of across provinces so that we can look at some of the bottlenecks that are within the children's courts. Thank you, Ms. Isabella.
Thank you, Chair. I forgot to address the issue of how are we going to ensure that we capacitate social workers in terms of the implementation of this top-up. We're working very closely together as a department, and we know that implementation happens at local level, and it is important that we ensure that even the social worker on the ground understand what top-up is, what are the processes, you know, that are entailed to ensure that this top-up is being implemented, and what is it that the social worker is supposed to do. So we are saying that, as Maureen has said, we have started, you know, as a department with creating awareness with education to our practitioners, and then we envisage that we will go down, you know, deeper at district level to ensure that, you know, our social workers are empowered in this regard. But also in the meantime, the issue of issuing of circulars with the practice notes, you know, that we have spoken about is also very critical, so that, you know, people can be able to reach for themselves as we intensify, you know, our education at that level, at local level. And I think as members have also proposed, the issue of marketing, you know, using our local radios will also be beneficial. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Brenda.
There's a question we omitted to respond to, Chair.
Okay.
Honorable Chair, there was a question if foster parents have got a choice between top-up grant or foster child grant due to price difference. I'd like to indicate that a foster parent is a foster parent because of the court order that has been issued by the children's court. And that does not even make a possibility of having a choice to say you're going to choose between a top-up grant and a foster child grant. And also the determination if a person should be a foster parent is actually made through social work assessment, where a child is assessed to determine if this child is in need of care and protection due to vulnerabilities that the child is exposed to, and also using some of the safety and risk assessment tools that we have in place. And that will be submitted to court so that the court can then make a decision to say that this child should then go to foster placement and placed into this foster parent. And with that, I think it removes the issue of choice, whether you go for foster child grant or top-up grant. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we see the follow-up? I see Alex sent, and I'm not sure about the one of Bridget Masango, whether it's an old hand or Can I get a clarification on that one? Richard.
It was old, but it's now new.
Yeah. Old new. Or new old.
Okay.
And also Mangani. Okay. Can we go to those hands then? Bridget, Alex, and Mangani.
Thank you so much, Chair. Mine is a follow-up to the response by the advocate, Trotisa, on the issue that I had asked. I believe he was responding to my asking how the top-up grant is linked to the comprehensive legal solution through Section 150, if at all. I was asking this question because I thought, you know, I was seeking a operationalization of the actual act. So I was hoping that either the Child Protection Services Directorate or the DDG or whomever is in charge of the operationalization of the law once it has been passed, and how we can or the public can understand the linkage to the top-up grant of the child, sorry, of the comprehensive legal solution. So if I may please be provided that question. I'm sorry if I'm belaboring the point, but I believe that I cannot miss this opportunity to actually get this clarity provided today. And also, Chair, to say that the court knows or briefed or told the department what the comprehensive legal solution is not how I understood this whole thing. I thought that it was the department, DSD, and in the process, the parliament that needed to bring the comprehensive legal solution, however, whatever form it takes, because it would have taken the department to do whatever research or whatever it is that they needed to do. So I just want to say that I am not sure that I understood what the advocate was saying, but I would like to be please answered on the issue of the link between the comprehensive legal solution and the top-up grant as it happens through Section 150, if at all, and at an operational level. That is where I would like to understand it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masango. Honorable Alex.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the department for the responses. Chairperson, pleasant to hear that there is no foster care backlog anymore. However, I would still like to request that we can please have those figures that were presented here this morning in writing, and if we can still have that breakdown per province like we would normally get the report back. Then, Chairperson, a question that I omitted in the beginning is what is the budget, the department's budget for the top-up for this financial year, and if they have the predictions for the next 2 years? And then, Chairperson, I'd like to find out, we've been speaking a lot about, you know, has the information filtered through to everybody? And I would just like to ask if the Child Protection Director has written to the provincial HODs explaining the top-up in a circular, if that has happened. And then, Chairperson, to come back to the practice note. I think at, for the very least, the members of Parliament on this committee should be sent this practice note. And I'm saying this because we often say that as members of this committee, the department needs to capacitate us as part of the communication plan, for argument's sake, that we are also in regular contact with members of the public. And for members of parliament, like I heard some of my previous colleagues say, that they are being sent from pillar to post and pillar to post, I think it's quite embarrassing if members of parliament, if we don't even know what's going on. So I would, for the very least, Chairperson, ask that this practice note be sent to us as members of the committee. And, you know, in actual fact, be put on the website so that people have access to information that when they go to a social worker, to a SASSA official, people have the information. And I've just gone onto the department's website myself now, and I've also got, I'm not the department, SASSA's website, and I've also gone onto SASSA's e-form, e-services website. And at no point on the website do they make mention of the top-up grant. So I would like the SASSA to please go and have a look at their website, that, you know, when the pages are open, when the tabs are open, there actually is a tab that says and that speaks to this top-up grant chairperson. And then lastly, just to go back to the question on choice, and thank you for the response, and I understand that, you know, the courts are now in charge of saying who qualifies for a foster child grant. But, you know, Chairperson, this is a democracy and there's freedom of choice and things like that. And I just am wondering now if an unintended consequence of this is not removing people's freedom of choice. And then my question goes back. So if I am a foster care parent, and can I still receive the top-up grant while still making an application to the court for the foster care grant? I'm just want that clarity. So if I am a foster care parent and I am now going to qualify for the top-up, can I still approach the court to ask for the foster child grant? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Brenda?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
For forgetting the Honourable Mangani. Sorry, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think Brenda knows very well that if we are not happy with the information, we keep on digging on the ground. We are the one who knows that you lack of social work. That's why we are asking, is this team going to the rural? And then if I heard them mentioning two provinces. And then the problem that you are doing as this department is that when you call the meeting, you want to brief people, you go to towns. Our people stay in rural. So go to rural. And then we'll know if you are there in the rural. We'll come and check if really you are at the rural, not in town. So you always brief people in town. So we are the one who now suffering to make sure that people on the rural knows. You know very well that the social development or the SASSA don't have that capacity in terms of cars. They don't have cars that will travel up to the rural. So you must do the best. I don't have a question, Chair. I wanted to address this issue. We know very well. We crisscross all the provinces. Even if when we hear you say, I'm from this province, we will go to that provinces with our own money to go and check if you are there. So I really pleading that we must be given the information that will also help and capacitate us. Because when we get embarrassed, when we get to the community, and then we don't have answers for what they ask us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mangani. Brenda?
No, thank you very much, Honorable Members. We do acknowledge that at this stage, we've started doing quite a lot of consultations, and we have even gone to some rural areas, but we can acknowledge that we have not gone to every single rural area in the country, and we still need to continue doing that.
We will take note of Honorable Manganya's concern and go to even more rural areas to ensure that we are prioritizing places where it's less easy to get information. And we will also empower the portfolio committee members by providing them with the regulations and the practice notes so that they also have sight of that. We'll definitely do that. We take advice from Honorable Abrahams around the website and making sure that even the website alert people to the availability of this top-up grant. Thank you very much for all the guidance that you are receiving from the portfolio committee. And then with regards to issues of the giving the information around the numbers, of course, yes, we can provide the numbers that Nelisa was giving in writing. We can definitely do that. In terms of the budget for the top-up grant, this current financially, we were not given a specific budget, but Treasury said we are allowed in this year to use the savings from the old age grant, because we've been having savings from the old age grant, that we are allowed to use those savings to be able to fund the top-up grant. Based on our estimations of what numbers of people are likely to claim the top-up grant, we estimated around 190,000. So the 500-ish thousand rand that is required, we will be able to pay for it this year. They've only given us a specific allocation for this top-up grant in the next financial year and the next one. But we have an adequate budget in this current financial year just from the savings on the old age grant to be able to pay for the top-up grant. With regards to, I think the other question is the linkage to the Honorable Masango's question, a repeat question. I'll ask Honorable other Kitten Chochisa to unpack the response a bit more. And then I think those are the questions I can then yield to Advocate Nchochisa to deal with the Section 150 and how the linkage between the two, the death section and the top-up legislation. I think as he comes in, let me just explain that in terms of the Social Assistance Amendment Act, the provision in the Social Assistance Act basically says the Minister of Social Development with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance is allowed to introduce an additional amount of money for any grant. And so that is how the top-up provision is made for. It just says the minister may allow an additional amount of money in consultation or with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. That is why the amount now that has been concurred with is 250 or 50% of the child support grant. That's the clause there, basically saying you can provide an additional money for children who are not deemed in terms of section, who do not meet the criteria of Section 150, which says that a child must be, in order to be able to be put into the foster care system, they must be deemed to be in need of care. And that section deals with children who are deemed to be in need of care, specifically describes what the criteria is for being in need of care. So a child who does not meet that, who meets that criteria, would then be taken through the foster care system. But the child who does not meet that criteria would then need to be able, if they are staying with their family, extended family, they would then be able to apply for the top-up grant without necessarily needing to go through the foster care system, but just apply through providing the birth certificate, the caregiver's identity number, and the death certificate of the parents. So if that information is provided directly to SASSA, then the child would be able to get this top-up grant, or the caregiver would be able to get the top-up grant. Whereas those children who are applying for the foster child have to meet the criteria of Section 150, and in order to meet that, then they go through the court system, and then the court will appoint the foster parent, who can then, with the foster care order, go and apply to SASSA for a foster child grant. But Advocate Nchochisi can unpack it a bit further. Advocate, can I hand over to you?
Thank you, Didi. Through you, Chairperson. let me first tackle the one Honorable Masango is asking in terms of the comprehensive legal solution. My apologies, Honorable Masango. I may have not expressed myself clearly in terms of what I referred to the court about. The indication is that I'm saying the court order itself ordered the minister to come up with a comprehensive legal solution. And I also indicated that it was at first glance a little bit not clear as to what is meant by a comprehensive legal solution. What are the building blocks of a comprehensive legal solution? As I said, at least the court tried to unpack it a little bit for us to understand that by saying, by coming up with a comprehensive legal solution, which implies that the minister must introduce a law in parliament to deal with the issues of backlog, and also to come up with systems and mechanisms to also address this particular issue. That was my indication. Not that the court itself is the one that is the final arbiter in this regard. It was a question of it giving us an indication. The final arbiter becomes the parliament at the end of the day, because it is the one that must process the law that which the court had said the minister must introduce, which the minister did, in fact, introduce this particular law, which the parliament is busy processing. So I also indicated that as we are busy processing these laws, which we have finalized the first one, that is the Social Assistance Amendment Act, we still have the Children's Amendment Act that is outstanding. But we have an obligation to, from time to time, brief the court in terms of what the court called a supervisory hearing for the understanding of where we are now, what we are doing, what are the issues, which we have presented to the court itself, and we are still going to have meetings in the future. And I cited that one would be coming this particular Friday to say, here is the Social Assistance Amendment Act. It introduces the top-up grant, and this top-up grant is actually diverting children, as has been explained before, who are living with their families to a child support grant, so that there are no huge figures in the foster care system. So in that way, the number of the foster care grant applications and the cases that are in existence will in the future decrease, because now these children will be focusing on the top-up grant. So that is the relationship between this particular provision, that is top-up grant, and the comprehensive legal solution. So the more children apply, that is those who have been identified to qualify as such, apply for the top-up grant, the lesser the burden will be on the foster care system. So in that way, once the burden on the foster care system is, then there will be no more issues. We presume that there will be no more challenges of huge numbers and backlog in the future. That is why the foster care issue. The other issue around Section 150 in terms of who is a child that is in need of care and protection, and as has been explained by DDG Sebego, I think she has said it mouthful, that now this issue of foster care, that is offered the top-up grant, will also will take into account that children who are orphanaged and who are with their families will be diverted from the system. So in that instance, there is a linkage in some sense that if now these children are in with that is residing with their families, then they will not be part of the foster care system. They will not be increasing the figures on the foster care system. But I don't want to dilute that much, as it has already been explained by this Rebecca. I also indicated that, yes, indeed, it's a collective role, Honorable Masango. It's a collective responsibility that has to be played by a myriad of functionaries, starting from the department, also the parliamentarians, because they are the one legislation that responds to what the court has said. It is indeed correct that it is a function of parliament. I may not have expressed that in certain terms in my earlier statement. So we at the end of the day, rely on your good selves as members of parliament to say, yes, indeed, this is the comprehensive legal solution the court had indicated in the order that it granted. And we are also, as I indicated, also in engagement with the court, just to understand that the basis of legislation that we have brought before your good selves, the Social Assistance Amendment Act, the Children's Amendment Bill, are indeed addressing that which had been indicated. But at the end of the day, the final responsibility will come up in as far as the part that deals with the introduction of legislation. But the systems and processes, yes, indeed, other role players like the MECs, as I indicated, who have come before you good selves in the past to tell what is their role in terms of addressing the systems and mechanisms for the reduction of the backlog or dealing with backlog altogether in the foster care system. They've made those presentations in the past, which I believe the committee had accepted. At the end of the day, as I indicated, it is indeed on your court, Honorable Masango, to make that pronouncement. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Advocate Mchurchis. Now that I don't see any hands, can I get the indication from Lindy, well, what is next? I think we are done with this one.
I Chair, we are done with the department. Now we'll go to our internal business to consider and adopt the third term committee program. Thank you.
Third term committee program, yeah? Okay, they can be excused for now. It's an internal pink page, we used to say it's a pink page. Thank you very much, officials. We are not yet finished to ask questions. You can be ready for any questions that might be posed by honorable members and by the communities. So just get ready for that. I can sleep over tonight and think about other things. This thing is new to us. So just get ready and be patient with us. Thank you ever so much. We are excused.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
We do welcome additional questions because we, of course, want the grant to succeed. So please feel free. We will make every attempt to respond to all of them. Thank you very much.
Try your level best. Try your level best to cascade the information to lower levels.
Yes, we will be
doing that. Use radios, community radios, papers. Yes. Even ourselves, when you give us the regulations, we will be able to assist in terms of our constituents' offices. But we need to be clear first. We can't be saying something that we are not sure of. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to all of the members.
Sure.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thank you. Bye, 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 guys. Lindy, what? Flight the program.
Hi, Chair.
Yes.
Can you see the program and members?
Yeah, Kayan's been Kuluanya and Namas.
Okay,
Chair.
Can you see it? Ne? Oh, how must I? Okay. Okay, Chair. So do you want me to extend it? Ne? Hi, Chair.
Can
Okay.
I chair.
What is the day today?
24, chair.
24, yeah, well, column 2.
Okay. Chair, can I just give the background after our discussion as to how do we go about the drafting of the committee program? We have the House Chairperson who provides the focus areas to all committees in a particular quarter as to what issues the committee need to focus on that particular quarter. So our program is informed by that focus area from who member Honorable Frolic. So now we're at the third quarter, which is a quarter before BRRR. So in terms of parliamentary focus area, legislation must take precedence. You know, we need to prioritize legislation. Also, the issue of the annual reports, as well as Section 32 reports, which is the quarterly reports, as this informed the BRRR. Chair, there were a number of outstanding issues like this one, the top-up grant. This discussion was also noted during the Children's Amendment Bill deliberations that we need to have a difference. There's also a petition longstanding of Member Masango. There's also an issue that the committee needs to be briefed on, the action plan of the AG. So all these issues that are in this parliamentary committee program, we have prioritizing the focus area as well as the issues that have been outstanding to the committee since the committee was busy with the Children's Amendment Bill. So Chair, I just wanted to give that background as to how do we prioritize how certain agenda items are in this particular program and the others are not here. So we take two from the focus areas and prioritize accordingly. Chair, today is the 21st of August. We've done the presentation from the department, but unfortunately we haven't done two agenda items due to the absence of the legal advisor, and then we'll defer those two items to our next meeting. Next week, Tuesday, we've received an invitation from the PC on basic education to have a joint meeting with them to receive a briefing by Department of Basic Education and also DSD on an updated status report on ECD function shift. So that meeting will take place on the 30th of August, which is Tuesday. On the 31st of August, which is Wednesday, Chair, I will just, we will, in that one, if everything went well today, would have been doing the A list, but we will take the two items of today's meeting, which is the deliberation on the fundraising amendment bill, as well as the adoption and consultation of the MOD in this meeting. As well, we'll also receive a presentation from DSD and its entities on their action plan responding to AG's audit findings and recommendation of the last financial year, which is 2020-2021. This is in preparation to the BRRR that will take place in October. The first presentation will take place the week of the 6-7. So the briefing also should include a detailed report on the cases referred to National Treasury for condonation and the nature of cases, the number of cases when they were submitted, the progress made at any other related matters. There were issues raised in most of the meetings we held with annual reports where there were cases not being attended to. So this presentation will also assist the members to get the progress thus far on those cases. Chair and members will proceed to the 7th of September, whereby we'll also continue with the fundraising amendment bill. We will consider and then adopt the B list on the funding raising amendment bill. And then after that, we'll also adopt the bill as amended and the committee report. And in the same meeting, we'll also receive a briefing from DSD on the fourth term quarterly report of the financial and non-financial performance for 2021-22 financial year, which is January to March 2022. Chair, on the 14th of September, there was a petition that was referred to the committee by the council. That petition was brought by Umemba Masango. It's a petition from residents of Tembisa, Gauteng province, calling on the assembly to investigate the provision of proper and safe offices for the SASSA in the area. So our member Masango will take lead of this petition and brief the committee, but I'll outline the process closer to the time. Chair, in the same meeting, will also receive a long outstanding agenda item like this one, or like the above one, where the committee will receive a briefing from NDA on its implementation, the outcome and impact of the turnaround strategy. The same briefing, the briefing must also include the budget allocation structure at the NDA as per province. As the provisions of the NDA Act and how the new service delivery model and turnaround suite address these challenges. Chair, the 22nd, the 21st, which is the last meeting for this term, it's a short term, unfortunately. We'll receive a briefing from the social development on the fourth national plan of action for children. This is for 2019 to 2024. It's a long referral, Chair, this as well. And in the same meeting, we'll also receive a briefing from DSD on the first term quarterly report on the financial and non-financial performance 2021-2022, which is April to June 2022. So, Chair, that's the program before the committee for its consideration and adoption. Thank you.
Thank you. Any intake from this program that has been tabled in front of us? Alex?
Chair, thank you very much, and thank you to Lindy for all the work that she does on the timetable. And Lindy, thank you for your reply to me. I just didn't get a chance to reply back, but thank you. I do understand that, you know, our priority is legislation. Just would like to say that we sat through a training session last week, and I think Parliament's capacity challenges came up in a number of sectors. And here we see Parliament's capacity challenges directly affecting the work that this committee must do. And the colleagues did raise it in the beginning that, you know, we just can't accept, we accept the apology, but it just can't be that if our priority is legislation, that when we do legislation, there is no parliamentary legal person. And items that members like myself are then putting forward to appear on the schedule, then is coming in second to legislation. But then when it's on the agenda, we don't have a parliamentary legal person. And I think that really needs to be taken up, Chairperson, and I hope you will write to them that we are going to be focused on legislation and we really need those legal advisors in the meeting room, so not to delay the committee. But on that point, Chairperson, I raised in the previous term some issue and the report on social workers. And like I said, I accept the explanation given. But we heard now again that social workers, it's a burning issue, Chairperson, and it's affecting child protection services. It's affecting, you know, different welfare programs. Yet we haven't had a conversation with the department on the state of social workers in the country. And I think it's important, and I would like to urge us again to put that report on the agenda. And I mean, I see we can join committees on Tuesday, but if this is short, you know, this is a short term, and you know, next year is basically an election year, that we do maybe start looking at additional dates, Chairperson, to cover some of those bread and butter issues, Chairperson, directly affecting the people on the ground and holding the executive to account. So that is just my plea to you, Chairperson. But then also lastly, Chairperson, on the 14th of September, when the NDA comes, there was a matter of NDA, well, allegations of fraud within the NDA. And I just like, and there was an independent investigation, I believe, that transpired. And I would like to find out then, under that, on the day of agenda item, I think it's the 14th of September, will we be hearing from those independent investigations on the
recording in progress.
I'm sure you have missed it. So we have discussed this thing of the legal advisor. We are going to take it up. It will not be the first time to take it up, but we'll continue and be patient and raise it very sharply that at least it mustn't be the challenge that delays the committee not to continue. Thanks for the emphasis, Alex. And then this one, Alex, of social workers and the shortage and all the stuff. You know, maybe when we get the reports, we will be able also to interact with the department in terms of how do they think they will increase this, except the thing of employing those 200 social workers that they talked about nationwide. Maybe we have to get an information, what is it that is good, because it comes up whenever these things is raised, knowing exactly as portfolio committee that social workers are not enough. We still need more, but on how and what is it that we are going to get, we need maybe to ask the department to assist us. With this one of the NDA, I cannot answer for the department, Alex. But I know for a fact it's on us to get the information on how far are they. If they are done with the investigation, we have to have the report. If they are still busy with it, they will tell us. We will ask them prior to assist us with the information. I think I've taken note of all what you have raised. Lindy, is there anything in this program?
No, Chair, there's nothing. Just any proposal.
The adoption of it, yes. What we need, committee members, we have to agree and adopt this as a working document. Thanks, Honorable Stock.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the committee program. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Stock. Any seconder to Honorable Stock? Any seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Honorable Mangani is seconding Honorable Stock in terms of the program for the quarter. Thank you ever so much. Lindy, is there anything on the agenda? We seem as if we are done now.
No, we are done.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Let's hope for the best and then look forward to attend all these committee meetings that have been listed as we usually do. Thanks ever so much for your time. The meeting has adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye, colleagues.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Alex. Miss you. Valanin, do we meet in?
Okay, I'm going to close the meeting. Okay,
Vala, sis.
Bye.
I know. Bye.
Bye, Chair.